That is our army. And I don't know where now. The department, national department, I'm not sure. There is another person who was affected, but I think it was the department and that was affected. I wish to welcome you all on this meeting. And I also wish to apologize because the meeting was supposed to start at 11, but unfortunately there was another meeting. You know the story of the invasion here in our institution. So we said the news. Now we have to delay the other meeting. We apologize for that. And at the same time, I could see that the members are very fresh. They are from a good holiday. And you could see the complexion from their faces. It indicates that everybody is fresh and they got vigor to take up the work they are tasked to do. With those few words, honorable members, I wish to welcome you back. And we have to understand that ahead of us, we still have a lot to do. Today in our agenda, it's just a short agenda because we're only having one item, which is the briefing by the department on the special officer's report and the progress that has been made since the previous meeting that we had last month. I needed to have that a report. But before that, I would like to get if there are any apologies from the honorable members. Nothing so far. I think I understand that the document just came this morning, and I think it has been a character from the department who has been present outside. But at least we need to get the document on the radar deleted on the day before the meeting. So I understand they are still printed out, but I think in 5 minutes they will be really getting the documents, but we'd like the duty to take us what?
Thank you very much, Chair Beckham and honorable members. We understood the brief to mean, Chair Beckham, that we must reflect on special audit report on the L2. What is it that has happened? I would like to indicate that as we are preparing to go to that meeting of SCOFA, only the province was, we're working close to the province to prepare for that. And at that time, the city had not did not join in the preparations. Hence, the outcome. I'm sure some of you were part of that meeting. But since directed, chairperson, by the meeting, we have been working closely, both the city ourselves as well as the province. There have been several meetings where all of us had to talk to the Italian support and respond accordingly as to what it is that we have done or not have done on each and every finding and where each one of us are accountable. It has been a very difficult experience because at least the sense that one gets is that all of us realize the need to work together to attend to what the committee members raise, but also what are the findings of the UTED members. Chair, we have reflected on the responsibilities of all of us. And obviously tomorrow as we make our presentation, each one of us will deal with matters pertinent to our area of operation in response to the report itself. And I must also indicate that the municipal manager, the acting provincial HOD, and myself were central in sort of making this preparation. I don't know whether the chairperson would like us to take you through the findings themselves, or that will be a subject of tomorrow's meeting. But obviously there is a progress, and we have also been able to develop a document as a response, which will be, I believe, critical for this committee as you do your oversight work. But we will be directed by the chairperson as how you want us to deal with this matter.
Thank you. I think it is important because the purpose of this meeting is to get the understanding of what really happened to find ourselves in this situation. I mean, when starting from the report itself, the agency's report, what is there, and then you respond to what is there.
Sure. In 2006, the then Minister of Housing, Dr. Lindiwe Sisulu, commissioned UTED to look at the entry and evaluate whether there is a value for money in the project itself. And of course, if there was any other matter that the intergeneral verified is necessary, as he does, his office does the work on the entry and advise government accordingly. It was about 2 years after the implementation of the program itself. So this report is a report that really stems from a sense of good governance from the minister's side, and intended to help us as we implement the N2 Gateway program. There were several findings that the UTED General commented on. It is related to the questions around the legislation policies, compliance roles and responsibilities in terms of the memorandum of understanding between the province, national government, as well as the municipality, findings around the planning, the time frames and the affordability of the project, the funding of the project itself, the appointment of the project manager, starting with Siberia, up to the appointment of Tibelisha, the appointment of the implementing consortium. The general reflected on issues of quality of units, particularly with the flow of phase one. And of course, the payments done to the implementing consortium. So these are all the findings that the Auditor General reflect in his report. Now, with regard to the area around the enabling legislation policy, Chairperson, our response is that the social housing policy has always been financed through institutional subsidy mechanism. And of course, that was in place long before the project was even conceived. And we are saying that the actual housing policy, social housing policy, was only finalized later in the implementation of the project. So, in future, from our side, we will ensure that relevant policies are finalized before we implement any program that could talk to those either draft policies or policies that have been considered. However, we are also of the view that in broad terms, both the Constitution as well as the Housing Act were being observed. The issue around the roles and responsibility of different role players with regard to as contained in the Memorandum of Understanding. We are chairperson that until 2006, post municipal elections, the steering committees as well as the M3 political leadership, which was in political oversight of the project, they were in place, meeting regularly and ensuring the implementation of the project. However, post-municipal elections, there were some challenges with regard to the meetings, in particular at the political level. However, also, of course, this also affected the participation of the city in the steering committee. But as from last year, Chairperson, we did re-establish the steering committee to ensure that we all of us take responsibility for the implementation of this project. The planning chairperson, particularly the business plan, we have seen that the plan has not been finalized and approved before the actual construction of the M2 project. However, we did subsequently correct this mistake by developing a business plan and having it approved, particularly for the phase one of the project itself. The time frame and affordability chapter said we accept that perhaps the time frame were quite tough, so to speak. However, we ensure that, of course, with planning, proper planning, we are able to ensure that we provide achievable time frames in terms of the implementation of the project. We are still certain that funding for the N2 was not secured.
Thank you, Chair. Just on a point of clarity, is the information we're getting now, is that contained in the report that we're waiting for? Or is there sort of additional information?
It's contained.
In the report?
This is just a summary. This is a thank you very much, Captain. Just to indicate that we do have a narrative report, Chapter 7, which has of about 19 pages, so it's very detailed. What I'm trying to do here is just to take members on the broad and summarized version of that, but the narrative is also available.
So we'll be getting that more detailed report as well, or not?
We'll be directed by the chapter. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So this is just the broad overview. We are staying with the funding chapter. So we are seeing that indeed the funding to complete the project was not secured at the commencement of the project itself. However, in subsequent years, we were able to secure funds from Treasury for this project. In the current medium-term expenditure framework period, 1.5 billion has been secured for the N2. This means, Chairperson, in this current financial year, 400 million rand is put aside for the N2, 2009-2010, that is a research fund. 2010-2011, half a billion is set aside for the N2. 2011-2012, 600 million rand is being sent for the entry. But again, at the beginning, there was no secure funding. But this is not the only fund that has been made available. Just to point out, in earlier, there were some funding that were being used for the implementation of the entry, particularly from the conditional grant to the province. The issue Chairperson around the appointment of the project manager, that is Siberia, Chair. Siberia was appointed by the city of Cape Town in terms of request for proposals. The city manager did give a full report as to what transpired in that process, and if the chair agrees, we will favor the committee also with this report from the city manager. But obviously, it is very clear that Siberia was number six, there was a technical evaluation that was conducted by this evaluation team. Of course, there are people who contributed that team. And the criteria used by the BIT evaluation team is attached to the report, and I think members can look at that. The report was compiled by the evaluation team and was forwarded to Goods and Services and Property Advisory Board, which has the members listed in the report of that board. The report indicates that there was an urgent and scheduled meeting of this board on the 17th of December, where certain members of this board were present. That meeting is also attached, and of course, there are meetings, there are minutes. The municipal manager indicates that the property and goods services and property and battery board was made up of 90 staff members. And of course, there's a list of the supply chain management committee of the city. The request for tender, the request for proposals, the minutes, and the appointment of the builder by the city. In our discussions, Chairperson has observed that there are quite many questions that the city manager must deal with to bring the appointment of the area to conclusion. And he did indicate that they are taking a legal opinion on this matter and see how could this matter be done. So there are documents they gave to us, and myself pointed out that chapter at the beginning, they did say that they didn't have the documents. But in subsequent meeting, they were able to find the documents somewhere in the offices. We are not sure whether these are all the documents that are available in the disposal, but we would make them available to the committee. The appointment of the current project manager, which is today, is a chairperson. I think the finding here in particular pointed to the fact that no tender processes were followed when Tibelisha was appointed. Chair, we have a different view from this finding of the Utah General, and our view is clearly informed by the fact that government creates institutions because there is a gap in the market, or because governments seek to achieve a particular objective. That's why institutions are created. Otherwise, government will be creating institutions instead of using the private sector wholly to achieve its objectives. Now, if that is the case, Chairperson, surely we cannot be expected to force such institutions to build in different terms to compete like anybody else in the private sector. Otherwise, that would defeat the purpose of the very same institution that we have created. So I think that that's really the point of difference between ourselves and the general on this matter. We are aware that, for instance, DBSA is helping municipalities in giving loans to municipalities. Why doesn't that argument arise with regard to DBSA? That's why the municipalities go to the banks and ask money from the banks and so forth. Because these are the government institutions, and Tibetisha is reflected in the PFMA schedule, in the schedule of the PFMA. So that's really where the point of difference exists. Going forward, Chairperson, since Tibetisha's tenure has come to an end, that is by the end of last month, SDA is taking over the implementation of the N2. And SDA, or our development agency, is also a government institution established in terms of the Act of Parliament. The other financial question related to the appointment of the implementing consortium. Chair, the tender for the award of the entry gateway project principles did not remain open for 21 days. We accept that. But the battalion is 9th of December, which says in the secretary holiday period, I mean, construction companies are on holiday around that, which actually made tender preparation difficult. We acknowledge that the time frames were limited, There were community address about the West Town, which particularly given the project term. the Department of Housing immediately housing program was utilized to fund and implement temporary relocation of the community. And I think there was a disaster in that area. So yes, we agree. This wasn't the time was limited, but on the other hand, Chairperson, there was a disaster ahead. The issue is being raised by the Untergeneral Office around the quality of units and the flow. Suffice to indicate that when this report was being, this work was done, it was actually, I think, 18 months after those units were completed. So you see that that needs to be done. Whether the corner is properly painted, whether the door is closed properly, and so forth. So it is within that period when this work was done. It was just immediately after the completion of the project. And I think there were less than 5 families in that area at the time, because there was another process undertaken by the province to shortlist the potential beneficiaries and, of course, the train. However, as this matter was raised as during the investigation of the Unter General, we did force the construction consortia to go back on site and attend to that meeting and make sure that whatever shortcomings that have been raised are addressed. The other issue that was raised, Chairperson, in the report, talks to the canal behind the complex itself. We made an amount of 29 million rents available to the province, to the city, to sort of expand the canal, because the concern was raised that it raises a health hazard or threat of the safety of the children and people in that area. It is my information, Chairperson, that the city has appointed a construction company to work on that. I must just indicate that, Chairperson, I think the challenge on that canal, it may not necessarily be its narrowness, but the extent to which, you know, it is not being cleaned on regular basis, because people do throw garbage in that canal. So we did in our discussions with the city, as we are preparing for this, we did indicate that this matter must be attended to on regular basis, if the canal is expanded, but it must be cleaned. Sorry, my apologies. This is a typo. Chairperson, the last finding relates to the payment made to the implementing consortium, where an amount of 71.8 million rands was spent. Our response is that the work commenced on certain sites prior to the individual project approval from the provincial government, resulting in this 71.8 million rands. Again, Chairperson, the requirement for temporary location was urgent. As a result of disaster in that area, people were in very precarious conditions, and therefore something needed to be done urgently. The consortium, Chairperson, construction consortium was requested to proceed from risk to create temporary CFA, temporary area for so that people can be relocated there. And that's where we used immediately housing and funds for these people. Now, I guess that is one of those situations where when you have immediacy, whether you call for tenders, that will come for about the next 2 weeks, and thereafter then you start attending to immediacy. Or within the emergency program that we have that has been approved by government, where that comes to then ask someone who's already on site, ask for them to give quotations and take the best, and then proceed to the immediacy. But anyway, this is the final discussion, and our report is that we were having a disaster at hand, and something needed to be done urgently. That's really our response, Chairperson, and as I said, this is just a high-level presentation. There is a detailed report that goes into each and every finding with a very fine comb.
Thank you very much today. Any other member from the department would like to add? None. Other members? I invite questions. Time for questions now. Honorable Day, to be followed by Honorable Porter, Honorable Martin, Jacoba. And that's it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just say that in the absence of the more detailed report, I am not really any the wiser than I was before I came into this meeting, so I need to reserve some of my comments until I've seen that report. I also just want to check, Chairperson, the report that we're about to get, is that the same report that will be given to SOPA tomorrow, or is there an even more detailed report for SOPA? So that's the first question. Then in terms of what's been presented to us, Chair, a number of questions. When the DG started off, almost his very first comment was that the city did not join the team to respond to the issues, and then he said, at some point, they did that. So my question really is, did they fully participate in putting that report together then? Because you said they did not respond, and that somewhere they were part of the team. Either they, you are pregnant or you are not pregnant, you can't be half pregnant. Then, Chairperson, in terms of this particular presentation, which is very limited, like I said, it doesn't really answer some of the questions I think we had and both at COPA had. But what I specifically want to ask in terms of the funding, $1.5 billion over the 8-year period, which is a 3-year period, does the DG believe that this is enough funding to achieve what they are planning to achieve with this project over 3 years? It seems, from a financial point of view, quite low. And then the only other sort of burning question I have at this point, Chair, is the $29 million that was mentioned, or closer to $30 million for increasing, I think, either the depth or something about this canal. It seems quite a lot of money to do some remedial work to something that they already. Has the process, and presumably the department was part of it, they made the money available, they did say the city awarded the contract, has it gone through the proper process this time, so that we actually get, you know, the somebody that's going to do it efficiently for the least amount of money? Thank you, Chief.
The light is still covered, but I just want to say also my feeling that the report is a bit scanty in terms of what the factual situation one would expect in terms of responding to the issues raised. I mean, many of the queries about contractors going into site before money was made available or tenders finalized, you need more clear details. Was it because of the non-cooperation between the national department, the province, and the local authority? Were funds allocated from national to the project or by the municipality to the project? Where are the problems? Why did we even have to delay to the December period when we knew the project had started much earlier? Negotiations for the project had started much earlier than this. I understand there were pressures to put the project into operation as quick as possible. But that did not suggest that you could bypass the tender process that was required to comply with this project. I'm also concerned about this this particular project of the expansion of this channel for the water, the amount of money. I'm not sure what would be queried there. If the Auditor General says there was no tender process, for the tender process in regard to this particular project, the canal, the channel for water, because I agree with staying the money seems quite significant for just an expansion of the channel.
All right, okay.
Yes, money is quite a few things that I need clarity more than the question. With the briefing by the Honourable Chair, we emphasize the working relationship that seemed to have been strengthened within all stakeholders, which is great. And looking at what really transpired, you know, at the last meeting that we had here in December. But mine is to just double check, you know, the level of participation of the potential beneficiaries. Because I don't see any of that kind of participation, especially looking at bullet 2 and 3, which are very important for their participation from what I would expect. And I wanted just to double check, you know, what is the level of participation of the industry, especially regarding the zone 2 bullet.
Thank you very much, Honourable. I think if you need to assist the committee by getting into details, because there's this issue of the expectation from what transpired to the last public hearing with COVA. And if you can remember that, well, it was more, the emphasis was more about the appointment of Siberia and the reasons why Siberia was appointed, yet it was rated number 9. I think if that we can assist moving from the previous meeting, those questions, and then I think we're going to assist the members. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. So there is a full report that you will give to SCOPA. As I said before, that I was checking whether I can make it available to members. It is much detailed, Chair, as I indicated. It deals with all of these findings. And in detail, it also reflects on the corrective measures that have been taken. Chair, as we were preparing to appear before SCOPA, the city did not participate. After SCOPA hearing in this very room, and many of my colleagues, municipal manager and the provincial HOD, and we agreed that we are in this together and therefore we got to respond to the concerns of the committee. And a first meeting was set, and then and subsequent meetings were held. There has been flurry of exchange of emails in between. Some of the information that we did not have at the time was made available by the city as well as the province. So even the issue around Siberia, because we all agreed that that is a very sticky issue, we agreed that maybe tomorrow, the city manager will deal with that. So they are participating, and the report that we share with the committee tomorrow, which if we direct the chairperson, we may share with you. We're not sure whether how does the protocol operate at that level. Whether we share the full report first with the scope and then with the committee, so we will be direct the chairperson. It is a report that we worked on it, completed. All meetings were held in the boardroom of the city manager. Of course, there is one floor that was held in my boardroom. So we dealt with the Utenos report line by line, clause by clause. To the best of my ability, we also took charge of where the comma must be and where the dot must be. So we are working well together as well. They have a report, and it was sent to them, both the city and the province yesterday, and I have not received any query whatsoever. Maybe if there are issues, we agree that we may meet this evening. Look at whatever that any one of us would like to raise. Chair, if my memory serves me well, at the initial stage of this project, a figure that was spoken about then was about 4 billion rand. That was the figure. If I'm just recollecting from my memory, but what has been spent on this project, and if we just go to the figure, we found that 2004-2005, 9 million rand was spent on the project. 2005-2006, this is part of the planning and so forth, some weather. 9 million. 2005-2006, 36 million rand are spent. 2006-2007, 372 million rand was spent. So the first figure said that 9 million and 36 million were not in first figure. This report will show you that will show that as from 2006 onwards, there is a specific dedicated amount of money. So 2006-2007, 372 million rand was invested for the project, of which only 200 million rand was spent, and then the balance was rolled over. 2008-2009, 334 million rand being spent. 2009-2010, 400 million rand, as I indicated earlier. 2010-2011 is 500 million, and 2011-2012 is 600 million. Now, this is just money that comes from national government, because this is a national project. Obviously, there was an expectation that the city would put some money from their mix. And the province, from their own provincial allocation, housing allocation, they also put some money.
So 1.5 billion in the term is really what the recent Department of Health managed to negotiate from the fiscal for the project. And it is still expected that the province, from their own provincial allocation, they will also put some money. So roughly, we may be talking about it to be the best. It's really roughly. The issue around it that didn't come out is that some part of the whole of Lobo is below water level, I think. And there are houses that water houses that were built, and one of the challenges of having those houses transferred is because you need EIA. So there are issues there, and that cannot be also issued, records of these issues cannot be issued and so forth before at least that canal is being expanded. So there is the request came from the city, and I think because with the L2 we're piloting and we have learned so many lessons, I suspect that I think that they've done their homework properly to ensure that this is a proper costing for the entire, not only for that small portion behind the flat itself, but in the entirety of the just logo until up to the where that community that residence sort of turns into I forgot the name of the street now, but it is the entirety of the area, Chesterton. So it has been considered, and therefore I think it's correct. When this project was conceived, just to go back in history, it's actually a project of the city. It was initiated by the city itself. And at the time when they initiated the project, we're busy finalizing a comprehensive plan of BNG document. So it came handy that is the proposal, because the city went to the province for funding. Said, look, we have a grand plan. We think we can do something, but we need extra billions of rent. And the province said, but you don't have money. Let's go to the national. And it was put before the Mid-Mac. The Mid-Mac said, this is a good project. We need to find money, and we as provinces are willing to forego portions of our allocations in the future going forward to realize this project is implemented. Of course, it will be a project where the BNG will be piloted. Just to indicate, Chairperson, that some of the, I'll call them assumptions at this stage, of the BNG has not been tested. You know, it was just a raw policy document covering a number of areas. Some of them, of course, like informal settlement upgrade, were busy doing them, but others have not been tested. So the proposal by the city and the province that this must come with a project, let serve in certain grounds when a broader and a very fundamental policy document was being concluded. And of course, it was in the middle of financial know-how. So there was no funding. And a proposal was taken to cabinet to consider this project, the initial project. Cabinet approved that. Now, as you know, members, it does take time to get into the mood to fund or funding. But at least there was some money that was spent by the city and the province in terms of planning and so forth. I thought I should just indicate that the agency arose within that context. But also, we were not only piloting the BNG We're also piloting a way in which government can do things and do things faster. The question that always arises, why should government follow the same processes and procedures like everybody else? If you build a crew, you've got to do this and that and that and that. I'm not talking about tenders, taking purely the approval processes and so forth, where everybody else knows that the school is a necessity, the clinic is a necessity and so forth. So we're also piloting a faster way of government to do things. There has been community participation, at least to save the period that has been covered by the intergovernmental report. There has been a number of discussions, committee set, the mayor, the MEC, the premier, they always engage the communities affected in this area. And there has been extensive consultation and that I can attest to. And of course, as we went to the Constitutional Court in particular around Joe Slovo, we were able to prove to the court that indeed has been participation. I think, Chairperson, the challenge we have, that the project has, and I can imagine it's the same with all other projects of this size, is that when communities keep on teaching their leaders, if they don't like them, it's a problem. Today, we negotiated with this group, they agreed, there's a mass meeting and so forth. Next week, you get another member that says, no, we don't agree with you. You call the same people that you consulted with, new patients come and so forth. But nobody, at least in all those principles of this project, nobody can say that she was never or she was never consulted. Besides, Chairperson, this is one of the most spoken about projects in the country. I think it's the most popular project because it's successful. People were consulted. So the appointment of Siberia, I was just skimming through the document that we got from the city. I would like Dr. Chiterete just to take members about some of this, because we ourselves also need to go and try to do some research on this. But if you allow, Chiterete, I can just take ask Mr. Chiterete to just take the comments on some of the findings there.
Thanks, DC. Thank you, Chair. Regarding the appointment of Siberia, the tender was issued under the Municipal Finance Management Act. So the appointment itself should be considered a municipal responsibility in this regard. So the city had to appoint the contractor. And the person who was ultimately responsible for appointing the contractor was the Chief Financial Officer of the city. However, I think it is important to mention to this meeting that in our attempt to get the relevant documentation pertaining to that appointment, we were not successful. However, what we have is the following. The tender was issued on the 7th of December 2004, and the appointment was made on the 17th of December the same year, meaning that the whole process took 10 days. And according to the list of companies that tendered, there were a total of about 9 companies, which I can read out to members. The first one was Promen Project Management Services. The second company was IPM Consortium. The third company was Kayad Consulting Engineers. The fourth one was Eliso Consulting JV. The fifth was Program Critique / Pacamile. The sixth one was Michel Duplessis and Associates. The seventh one was Africon / UIA. The eighth one was Magic International. And the ninth company was Siberia Technologies. This list is presented here in terms of its ranking order. So technically, Siberia Technologies met the requirements of the tender bid as the ninth company. But somehow things did happen, and the company became the preferred bidder. There were at least various, three or so evaluation committees which were responsible for taking the decision. I do have the three committees and their members here, which I can read out to members if the chair allows.
I think we need a direction from the members, because I wouldn't suggest that they're getting to the case today. Because to me, this is a report that you are supposed to be getting tomorrow during this COPA, because it was an initiative of COPA. But I think the indication of the appointment of this, it is also important for us, because when you look at this report, it touches it. But I think let's leave it in truth. Let's not get into it. But I need the direction from the member.
Can the official then explain? Is he saying that the appointment was on the 17th of December? Is that correct? The Siberia. When was Siberia appointed?
The final decision to appoint the contractor was taken by a committee of the city on the 17th of December. But the communication of that decision took place on the 21st, which is about...
Of December?
Yeah, which is about three, four days later.
Which tender was advertised on the 29th of December, 2004? According to this document that you asked before, the tender was advertised on the 29th of December, 2004. Which one was that? On page... The consortium. It's different from
Siberia. Siberia is the first company that was contracted for the N2, the very first company. The consortia was the companies that were needed to contract the or to construct the temporary relocation area much later, which is about 2006.
What was the purpose of Siberia's appointment? What was your supposed to do as opposed to the consortium?
Siberia was the first company which was supposed to be the
apologies for arriving later. I think we need to understand the roles and responsibilities with regard to all of these tenders. There is a tender that was issued for a project management team. That means that would be the team that would be responsible to manage the project to ensure that whoever is appointed carries out their tasks in accordance with the agreed upon contract and time schedules, etc. That is the contract that involves Siberia. It was to manage the others. Then the others would have been the tenders for the actual construction and development of the project, various things, which was done in various stages, RFPs, request for proposals, and then there was a particular evaluation with regard to that, and a group of four main consortia, where you will appreciate that this is a big tender. It was based on the criteria that was there. then each of those on the availability of funding and oil related issues would then be would be approached to make specific proposals with regard to the implementation of each of those precincts. So you would have the precincts divided amongst them so that you don't allow a situation where there's a monopoly or one of those precincts. And that was the principle in which the tender arrangements were done and the roles and the differentiated roles. Thank you.
There was a sense on the
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, may I ask for your indulgence? My apologies for being late. I'm coming from another meeting. But I was of the opinion that this meeting is scheduled to deal with the report of the Auditor General. If I'm right, then we really do injustice to the whole process as far as the process is concerned. And I'm also of the opinion that all relevant role players should have been here for us to interrogate this document. Hundreds and millions of rands have been spent here. And there is a desperate need for us to interrogate this document. There are proposals being made in this document, except a recovery plan on millions that we have lost. So I just want to find out from you, Chair, am I at the right meeting?
Just to assist you, Honourable Member, you are in the correct meeting. Because we have arrived here, we stated clearly at the beginning that we have got this report, the latest report, inside of us, and it was the first time we saw this document. During the SCOPA meeting. And then we took a decision as the portfolio committee that we are going to call the department before the portfolio committee to brief us. Now, they have started about briefing us, but we also requested the department that because we were embarrassed as the portfolio committee during the proceedings of the last meeting. So we said we would like to hear from the department, from this meeting, out of that meeting, have they collected their mind now? Are they prepared? How prepared are they to meet with Governor tomorrow? So I think that's why you find us discussing this issue. That is why I'm saying let's not get into details. Because the details, we are going to hear them tomorrow. And fortunately, I've done my homework. All the members that are here today, they are going to participate in tomorrow's meeting. But the members that are not here, we are not going to allow them to participate. Thank you.
Just with regard to your question about some of the information, and also the DG on one or two occasions raised the question about whether information should be made available. I think you've answered the question. It's a joint committee meeting tomorrow, so we sort of equal partners with SCOPA in that meeting, and any information that's given to them should be given to us. And I even suggest to go further and say that even if it wasn't a joint committee, that we should go get the report. And I want to emphasize, Chair, that I think particularly in light of the fact that you said we're going to participate actively, that we get that report today so that we can be prepared. So I think that answers the question of the other official in terms of names. I mean, presumably in there, so we will be seeing it and we will fully participate. Chair, if I can just ask, this is just from the report, but some of the things that I want to ask questions on what's just been said. Which in fact doesn't seem to be addressed in this presentation. There's two fundamental issues that doesn't seem to be addressed, and perhaps it's going to be in the main report. And that is all the findings that the Auditor General made with regard to either inefficient or wasteful expenditure. In your short presentation, this one that we've got, none of that is addressed. But the other issue I want to take up with the DG very specifically, I agree, yes, that there are times that we have to do things faster. And we need to find innovative ways of doing things. However, there are certain basic things that we have to stick to. And two of them that come out of this particular report is, one is the geotechnical report. Now, I don't care how fast we're going to be doing things in the future. Those are one of the basics that we have to do before we start any project. Let's do a geotechnical and get the findings. That wasn't done, and you haven't addressed that. The second one that I have great concern about is the fact that a portion of the project was built below the flood line. Now, that is simply, certainly in the private sector, simply not acceptable. You cannot build a new township or anything below the flood line. You have to establish the flood line, and you've got to make sure that it's built above that level. Otherwise, you are destined for the sort of problem that we've got. Thank you, Chair.
Just a couple of things. If I can just have clarity, we're talking about Siberia being number 9 on the list. The Auditor General talks about it being number 6. If we can just be clear about that, whether that's got something to do with the field meeting, something else, I don't know. The other thing, we're spending a lot of time discussing, you know, the actual project and very little on the beneficiaries. Now, the Auditor General's report also talks about the typology, the 70-30%, I think, is the original plan for rental as opposed to the single units. Now, it appears from the report that the people were not properly consulted, or the survey was properly done with the beneficiaries as to the earning parameters and who was going to benefit out of this project. So I'd like to know at what stage and who made the decision to change what then became from a 70-30 a 90-10, according to the figures that I have here in the Auditor General's report. So I could have some clarity on that, because at the end of the day, the very people that are expecting things, you can then understand why they are rising up in anger. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Darren.
I think the point that we are raising is that we are meeting tomorrow in the joint meeting. Maybe that's a point I can answer that to pursue the question of compliance with the PMSA in other areas. I'm not sure now how I'm right here, but there will always be a different portfolio committees and so on. My understanding always is that the portfolio committee is about performance of the department in implementing its policy. But corporate is about compliance with the rules that have been how it functions in terms of the accountability, in terms of usage of resources. Just sometimes I do feel that we are lumping things together, because I think we're taken through the portfolio committee. There is a situation with the raise of objections in the last meeting that we say the department came here unprepared or was asked to prepare. They tried to explain issues, but in this meeting I think they've already explained in terms of what I think is the role of a portfolio committee. Many other matters about compliance will be the matter that have to be discussed tomorrow's call. Because in terms of financial accountability, they are compliant in terms of the regulations, it's very covered one. But I think the portfolio committees are about the performance, so that the department has performed accordingly in terms of the matter that we are facing and in terms of our work with the portfolio committee. Sometimes I find it a little bit overlapping. And therefore, what is overlapping, the likelihood for us to do exactly what we are going to be doing tomorrow is very high. And therefore, I do think that maybe we should try, I'm not sure how. Just to deal with specific issues, I think the point that we are raising is that all other teachers, we can bear them through the meeting tomorrow. Otherwise, we are the meeting tomorrow in terms of the community, almost a duplication meeting, because we have dealt with every compliance matter here, which I think is proper right. I was very not in my compliance issue in terms of GSSA. I didn't qualify for the general doing that. I think one of our side always I thought is our performance, whether the department performs with the truth, what they said was that was the truth. And then I think the end to gateway project is one of the things that I think they extend that they're going to do. I think our base is how far they're going to implement that process. And then what are the difficulties on that and challenge. I'm trying to make it difficult, but I think I support the view that you are raising that maybe we shouldn't go for minute details because tomorrow we are meeting it for 2 hours.
Thank you very much, Honorable. You are not saying out of order. You are quite in order because if we are trying to get into details, it means why should we come tomorrow? There's no need. The main issue is to ensure that the department is ready for tomorrow morning. All these questions are going to fire tomorrow. We have got the right as the portfolio committee even to ask if you don't comply because this is our right, but let's do them tomorrow. But I think the other issue of the policy is that we need to discuss with the department. You know, the issue of the beneficiaries is quite a critical issue that is affecting delivery on this sector. I think it's high time now. We have learned a lot throughout the country. I think it's high time now that the department have to go back and think wisely. How could this be attended to? Because it's not done by the National Department in coordination. The beneficiaries. It's done at the local level. But I think it's high time now we need to have a national policy. Because each and every municipality, they do whatever, or can set up whatever standards, or can even involve our members at some stage. But you could see how the policy, I was just thinking of that policy, it's very serious that you must consider it. But I think if you have something to respond to from the questions that you raised, but not the actual devil, so you can respond and then we wrap up our meeting. Thanks.
Well, Chair, I'll avoid to go to the details. Maybe from a lighter note, well, I should go to the details so that you should bribe me today and save me tomorrow. I think it's a policy matter. Joe Flo was phase one of the N2 was set aside as a social housing program, a rental housing. Now, it is true that people who, some of which were removed from that area to the TRA and the surrounding area, had the expectation that they will get those houses for free. It's part of our program. And there were a number of discussions with the community to say, well, if it's a social housing, you've got to rent and you've got to earn a particular amount of money or be within a particular bracket. I can confirm, Chairperson, that a decision was taken that they be given the first priority. Many of them did not qualify. The second decision that was taken was, or subsequently, was that this must be advertised. At least people within the N2 corridor or the N2 prisons be given the priority, first priority. If I recall, Chairperson, about over 1,000 people applied. The process was run by the province. I think consultants or accountants were appointed just to go through people's income statements, just to make in order to make sure that the household that will be accommodated in the rental housing do not have problems to pay for their accommodation. The final decision of people who were found to qualify was taken, and those people were taken through training. Clearly, the training was about social housing and how does it fit into our suite of housing programs. And people were told, you've got the right to opt out if you want to, but you're not going to get this house, it's yours. It's a social housing, it's a renter, it's for rent. So people were trained in groups of 20, 20, 20, until 705 of them went through that process. And they knew that they were not going to pay anything less than 500 rent. So there was that effort. But again, Chair, they were not sitting around and said that they knew nothing about it. but there is money that was spent just to train it. So I think the challenge is much bigger, really, than that. And I think it's to make sure that people understand the problems of the government on a continuous basis. And of course, for government to be fair, where things are not being done in this instance, non-payment is wrong, not to pay your dues. The 70-30 split, Chair, again, this was also a policy decision taken at the political level that 30% of beneficiaries will be in the beggar, and then 70% will be those who are in informal settlement. This decision was taken, again, was clear by the chairperson that in a broad scheme of things, people who rent from other people's properties, it means they can afford. It may not be that they're paying a lot of money for that, but it is part of our senior system. You have to rent, and they're going to be encouraged. But again, these people are saying we are renting because we've been on the waiting list for the last 6 years or so. So it's a chicken and egg situation. On the one hand, is to really try to communicate different options that people can take, opt for, choices that they can opt for in terms of, accommodation. Clear understanding that if you rent, it's allowed. So these are some of the things that were considered, and but again, Chairperson, it has been implemented, and people were told about this on a continuous basis. They were consulted, and in the implementation throughout the principles of this project, this has always been followed. It is a 70-30 split. We are quite aware about the challenges that are posed by beneficiary management. They are quite serious, Chairperson. There are two options that we are looking at, and I think when it's appropriate and when we are ready, we will come and meet the committee. There are several options that we are looking at, Chairperson.
Members, I think we have come to the end of our meeting. So let's meet tomorrow morning, at what time in Costa? At 9. Another thing.
Just a housekeeping letter. When can we expect to get the complete document?
Oh, this is going to make copies of the conversation. It's V454, come on, it's 9. The meeting is adjourned.